not adjust your radio dial.
Okay, people, listen up.
As mankind marches into the future, the dependence on technology will only increase. Sometimes technology advances faster than understanding. That's where we come in.
You're babbling. You're not making any sense. You're hysterical.
Computers 99 on 850 The Buzz with your host, Amnon Nissan.
His voice has been processed to protect his identity.
And co-host Larry Dye.
Freak, weirdo.
Did you start the screener thing?
From the Y2K bug. Think of them as your guides to the world of binary digits and random access memory.
That's an inner joke.
Computers 99 with Amnon and Larry. They may be geeks.
What did he say?
But at least they know what they're doing.
850 The Buzz. Good morning, everybody. You're tuned to Computers 99 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. I'm Amnon, your host for the next 2 hours, along with Larry Dial.
Good morning.
Good morning. And our producer extraordinaire, The Rock, sitting there this week. And our numbers are 860-0850, star 850 on your Bell South Mobility DCS phone, pound 850 on your Alltel cell phone. And these calls are free. Computers 99 is brought to you this morning by Computer Exchange, with two great area locations, one at Crossroads Shopping Center in Cary, and in Raleigh in the North Hills Plaza across from North Hills Mall. Also brought to you by Bell South Mobility DCS, and call 1-888-327-2001 to get unlimited incoming calls and all their latest specials. Computers 99 is brought to you also by Mindspring, and you can call Mindspring at 1-888-MSpring or on the World Wide Web at www.mindspring.com. And this week, we're also brought to you by SkyTail, the first name in advanced messaging. You can call them at 1-800-SKY-6181 or visit SkyTail.com. And with us in the studio this morning, a guest that we haven't seen for some time, Paul Gilster, columnist and columnist extraordinaire.
Oh, I like that. That's good. I like that.
Paul, many of you read Paul's articles in the News and Observer Weekly. And you can go ahead and
tighten it up.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
Okay. Oh, no, this will not. Uh-oh. Okay.
Keep it down. Go ahead. Don't keep our audience waiting while
this
I...
This is a high-tech...
They can wait. It's fine. They've been waiting all week.
That's all right.
This is a high-tech show, and yep. This happens.
Larry, you're back.
I'm back.
Hello.
Where were you last week? Tell everybody where you were.
Working.
No, you weren't there.
Actually, during the show, I was sleeping because I had been working.
You hear
all
everybody?
Weekend.
He was sleeping.
It was wonderful. I heard the last half hour. He had this comedian on, right?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Jim Duffy.
Oh, he's the guy with the dog, right?
Yeah.
The hard drive dump. Ah, Gretel.
He'll probably be back.
I hope.
Yeah. Maybe on a regular basis.
That'd be fine.
Yeah.
I could actually sleep then on Sunday. How many years have we been doing this? That's
anyway.
All right. That's all right. You're not.
Anyway.
Cheap talent.
Let's go back to Paul.
Mr. Gilster.
Yeah. Paul, you've been writing this column for how long?
It started in 1986, but that was with Triangle Business, and then it switched over to the NNO. I'm going to say 1990, maybe. I can't quite remember. It's been a long time.
Long
time. 600 column, something like that.
The ice age of technology.
Yeah, back in the early days. Boy, you know what we were doing in 86. I mean, think about it.
What were you doing in 86?
What was I doing in 86?
Yeah, what were you doing in 1986?
Yeah, mainframes.
Yeah, it's been a long haul since then. And, of course, the Internet really, you know, only since about 92 in terms of popular use.
Mm-hmm.
It's been incredible to watch the changes.
I just kind of remember that the other day, that when I was first introduced to the Internet as opposed to BBSs and things like that, I was in Canada.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. When was this?
Well, it's been like things go by. Maybe 6 years ago?
Yeah. It's all happened so fast. Of course, it was out there for a long time, but, I mean, you couldn't get on it.
Right.
And nobody knew how to use it. And
there was no GUI. I mean, it was all text-based.
Right. It was all yeah. text-based. You had to know the Unix commands in most cases to make it work. And, there just was no way for the public to get on it. It wasn't there.
And we downloaded, I remember, because I was in an office, and we downloaded the Mosaic browser.
Yeah, yeah.
And went, wow. I didn't know what it was all about yet.
And it crashed. Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. It would crash every, the early Mosaic crashed every 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But you would look at that thing right out of the University of Southern Illinois, and you'd just get this free thing, and you'd look at it, and you'd say, wait a minute. The concept here.
Right.
You know, if they can ever make it work.
Boy, did they.
Boy, did they.
Did they.
Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. And how do you keep in touch with everything that's happening?
Well, I don't. I mean, let's say, you know what this is like. You guys are doing the same thing here. You try to set up some news feeds and such and try to keep up with as much as you can, but every day there's always something that comes out that I'm not aware of, and somebody sends me an email. Mm-hmm. Thank God. I rely a lot on people sending me things and telling me what's out there, things they've run into on the web. We got 800 million pages floating around out there.
Wow.
A bunch of pages.
Yeah.
Okay, if somebody asks you what is the most profound, important, whatever the word is, development or change that you've seen since 86 to 9 computing, what would you...
Yeah, I think that's actually a pretty straightforward question. The big change is the fact that the Internet works for anybody. In other words, in 86, when I'm starting to learn how to use these machines and writing about them, everything was proprietary. You know, you had a Mac, or you had an Amiga, or you had a PC. The net really got out the model that here we had something that you could access from any kind of device. And it's still not a perfect model, obviously. We're still talking about how to do that. But the whole idea, or again, from the standpoint of telecom and of getting data online, back then, we were using the source. We were using Delphi, CompuServe, all those. They didn't talk to each other. And so the question would be, what do you do when you go online? Well, I use CompuServe. Oh, too bad. You know, I'm on the source. We can't talk. This notion that all of them would one day be on this universal highway is probably the biggest thing. I think that's just a huge change. You could parallel that with the whole networking revolution elsewhere, putting data and computers together as opposed to mainframes. But I think this idea of universal access is just critical. That's the big one.
Yeah. It's something that it seems like BBSs, even though, I mean, you're looking at the period, and BBSs came to be before the Internet became, like you said, you know, everybody can use it. And BBS has made it so everybody can get on it.
Right. Everybody could get online in some
locally.
Way.
Locally. Mm-hmm. And anybody could use it because it was easy to use. Most of them were, anyway.
But, you know, we should add here, Emma, back in those days, too, and a little later, even the local BBSs were beginning to go global.
Right.
As you know, with all the echo groups and everything that you used to have.
Yeah,
Fido went out there and had the global access. So everything was trying to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It wanted to go global. And it took this amazing Internet protocol to make it work.
And it did go global, and it worked. In the beginning, I remember with FidoNet, we had a lot of routing problems because you had to send everything to one place and to St. Louis. And St. Louis? St. Louis?
St. Louis. I'm from St. Louis. So
and St. Louis.
Call St. Louis if you want.
and from there, it would go the next day to everybody else on the net. Later on, routing became more of something something more that they put emphasis on and started developing it. And you could send all the stuff from Raleigh that went to Raleigh to a hub in Raleigh, which sent it to right. all the rest of them. And I'm sitting today and wondering the same thing about the Internet. Why can't the Internet do the same thing? Today, most of the traffic on the net is not necessary. I mean, you can send a message sitting at your home in Raleigh, mm-hmm. and you're trying to send it, and you're sending a message to me.
Right.
And there's a very good chance that it'll go through, I don't know, San Francisco, Australia, London, you know, who knows?
Most likely it'll go at least to Maryland and probably to right. Ohio before it gets back here.
And right. that creates a lot of unnecessary yes. traffic that clogs the main arteries, if you mm-hmm. want.
That's yeah. right. Also, there's a lot of redundancy mm-hmm. in data and ways of cutting that down, especially as we go into video, are going to be very important. How do we set this up so that we're not constantly sending the whole thing every time?
Everywhere.
Is there some way to disperse it in some kind of broadcast manner? That's going to occupy the people working on the new protocols. Trying to figure out. That's a huge issue.
That is a huge issue, but with the routing, it's not. I don't mm-hmm. see it as a huge issue.
Oh, the routing itself.
The routing yeah. itself, I mean, if... And we know that, like, Sprint and MCI and all the big carriers mm-hmm. are always co-located, or they meet somewhere in yeah. every city, in every metropolitan area. Mm-hmm. They meet somewhere, and from there they go out. If they could just learn to cooperate.
Well, there's your answer.
Yeah, and to say, okay, this block belongs to such and such, yes. and this traffic needs to go right here. It stays. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go out. It stays right here.
Yeah, save a lot of trouble, and things wow. be a lot quicker.
You know, we don't need that Internet tool anymore.
People should use, if they get a chance, just try the little trace route function that's out
and
there.
See what happens.
See what happens when yeah. you send. This will track your message and tell you exactly where it went. And you're right. I mean, I've sent samples that way to Chapel Hill or to from Raleigh or wherever, and it goes multi-state, sometimes leaves the country. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. And then comes whipping right back around. So you're right about it.
And these problems were solved 10, 15 years ago mm-hmm. by BBS users that were, these were not businesses. These were right. people that were that just wanted to have fun with the computers and with...
But you see now, of course, and here's a big shift, too. We're out of the era of the guys, the experimenters, the
hobbyists.
Yeah, and we're in the corporate. And now you're talking about trying to convince a corporation that this kind of stuff is going to benefit it. I mean, it's a different ballgame. You're right. It, the Internet itself, in many ways, was a lot more interesting. I'm qualifying this by saying, I mean, obviously the net today has grown wonderfully. But the old model of watching it being built and the kind of engagement you had from people who were working on it on the hobby level or just on their own time, that was a wonderful thing, just like with the old Fido. And we lose something as we get into the corporate environment because these guys are not going to cooperate like you're talking about unless somebody buys somebody else. And that's what it's going to take.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about cooperation in the evil empire. I mean, when Paul's talking about corporations, think about the fight that's happening right now on instant messaging between AOL and Microsoft.
Oh, yeah. And that's a big one.
It's a huge one. And all they got to do is play nice together, and we'd all be better
right.
off.
And you know the principle here, too, Larry, you're so right. What they're doing is, the principle is allowing people to talk or not. And we're having a fight about letting people talk to each other. This would not have happened in the old days.
And they will gain themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine yeah. all the problems they're going through to stop people from talking to each other, and then when it's and imagine all the money that they spend, because before they make a change to stop, before Microsoft or AOL can do something to block the other from doing mm-hmm. something, they probably have to consult with quite a few attorneys to find out what's going to happen later. All this money.
That's right.
I mean, for what?
See, Paul's right. It's gone from, I mean, there's a lot of ways to put it. But going from technology to business is a huge transition.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, then we'll talk about this and take your calls when we come back. Right now, The Rock is going to Give us a ticker right here on Sports Radio 850. The Buzz. Hey, welcome back to Computers 99 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our numbers again, 860-0850, star 850 on your Bell South Mobility DCS phone, pound 850 on your Alltel cell phone, and these are free calls. We're paying for them. And we're in the studio here with Paul Gilster, and Larry Dial is back.
Now, what's that?
I'm back like a bad dream.
What is the what?
What's that look about? You're still wearing your underwear to work, aren't you? I mean,
and like you realize, Larry still doesn't have anything to talk about. Paul, you were mentioning MP3s.
Yeah, isn't that a story? The way that has just taken off, and I'm noticing now we're beginning to see this move toward taking these little hand-type devices, the little Rio players and so on, and starting to see MP3s spreading out. So there's one for the car coming. There's one that hooks into your home stereo coming. The MP3 is moving into the home, in other words.
Now let's explain that the fact that it's for the car, that doesn't mean that you're going to be hooked to the internet getting MP3s from the internet.
Well, I guess you could do that. I guess it could be done, but maybe not a good idea. No, but what you could do with it is download stuff on your computer and then transfer it over to this new player. A whole bunch of them. I mean, I was looking at some of these this week. Diamond is coming out with its new Rio, a brand new one with more memory in it and so on, additional features.
Diamond Rio, huh?
Diamond, yeah, Diamond Rio. And we're going to see a home system from Diamond coming out. I'm not sure. I think it's next year that we're going to see that one. But that, again, is going to interface into the home stereo system. So you're looking at moving this technology all around, and suddenly winding up with a real threat to conventional stereo, even though MP3 has its own drawbacks. I mean, you don't get the full frequency response from MP3. You lose some of those high frequencies that theoretically we can't hear, but which may supply some of the tone. I'm not expert in acoustics, but people tell me that maybe we lose a little bit with that, even though we're not necessarily hearing those frequencies they cut. They do that for compression, of course, to make the files a lot smaller. That's one reason it works.
Yeah, they can take a whole CD and compress it into around a meg and a half. A meg and a half.
Or you could take a CD and create your own with, hundreds of hours of music on it using MP3 technology. And there's a player coming out, too, that'll play both conventional CDs as well as MP3 CDs. So all this is happening very quickly. The scramble now, you know, it's the classic story. Diamond came out with a unit. It just took off. Now everybody's coming in. Creative Technologies is coming in with the Nomad. Everyone's trying to figure out who's going to have the best player. And that's a big item. The key question is the one you brought up earlier. How are they going to control this stuff? Sony's new unit will be out next year. Sony bringing out a unit that will play MP3. At the same time, acknowledging that there's nothing to stop people from downloading Sony's own recordings onto the Sony device.
Right.
We've had a lawsuit about it already, and the record industry lost. So I don't know where this goes. Legal questions are going to be very big.
It's a problem. I mean, why are you looking like that, Larry? Like you don't understand what's going on? Yeah, I know you know, and you understand.
No, I'm listening because what he's talking about is all of the ramifications of this go way beyond music. They go to intellectual property in general. That if you can put music on the web for free, you can put software on the web for free. You can go up there, and you know, there's a very famous Bruce Sterling, a sci-fi author, who has written a book recently, which details the ramifications of that. At some point in the early 20th century, 21st century, the Chinese get annoyed at the rest of the world again and put all the software in the world up there for free. So all of a sudden, Microsoft is worth nothing. I mean,
that's quite a scenario.
And the world economy collapses because we're in a situation in this country where our GNP, over half our GNP, is generated by intellectual property, whether it's movies, music, books, software, and if all that becomes worthless.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, as a guy who writes, you know, this is a problem. If you write a book, and, well, heck, at home right now, I've got an electronic book, one of these rocket books, which I love. I mean, I just had it upgraded. It'll hold 100 books now. But now the idea of somebody downloading my stuff, you know, what happens to my royalties? It's got everyone somewhat concerned, yeah, because this is how we make our living. So what happens?
So what do you see happening?
Well, clearly there are going to have to be protective mechanisms in place, and that I have to turn over to the, you know, the real tech types as to exactly the best mechanism. I don't know what it's going to be. There are a lot of models out there for what we might do. For one, it seems to me that books will probably be published in both versions. In other words, you buy a book in the bookstore. You get a CD-ROM along with the physical book. You've got it in both forms. If you don't want to buy it, but you want to get access to, let's say, a chapter of it, go onto the web, go to the publisher's website. Some kind of micropayment technology allows you to buy 3 pages of the book. Something like that has to work. I don't know yet, though, what it's going to be. And what's technically possible is still being worked on right now.
You're tuned to Computers 99 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, star 850 on your Bell South Mobility DCS phone, pound 850 on your Alltel cell phone, and these are free calls. We're talking with Paul Gilster. What? Different subjects. Of course, Larry, as far as software, it was always, from day one, the ability to put pieces of software up there for people to download existed.
Right.
While with music, it's just become, I mean, yeah, there was always a way to put music up there, but you take 3 minutes of music and you put it up there, and it was like 3 meg.
Right.
Now, and then there came the streaming, like real audio, that is not really music quality. It's there and you can listen to it, but you wouldn't play it to, you know, in parties. Now with the MP3, it's almost CD quality. As a matter of fact, they say that it's CD quality.
Right. A lot of people were confused about that at the beginning.
Right.
Yeah.
This is really, I mean, you can take that and you can record it on a CD and you have the original CD.
I know.
That was out there. So this is scary.
Well, what's interesting to me is that we have moved away from being, in the last 10 years, it seems to me most technology decisions in the last 10 years have been technology-based. That is, the limitations of technology have dictated what you could sell, or just the physical pieces of technology, whether it's the intellectual property that makes it work. Now it's all vision-driven. Whatever you can get, the technology, nothing's impossible. I mean, there's enough.
Absolutely.
There's enough people. We've not got enough people doing programming and enough things. All I got to figure out is a way to make money, and they're going to figure it out, whether it's music or books.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then the big challenge is, how do people really make money on this? Because rather than open up music to everybody, companies like Sony are going to have to figure out a way. They're going to be out of business, in the music business.
And they have one, right?
What, Sony?
Sony has a...
There are several things out there that are set up as protective mechanisms, and there's an attempt to get an industry-wide standard.
Right. No, I'm talking about the players.
Oh, yeah, the Sony player is coming out.
There's no way that Sony would come up with a player if they didn't have something in the back of their mind.
You have more faith
in
Sony's decision makers than
I agree with Larry here. Sony just knows that they can't afford to miss this this boat here. They've got to get into this technology. I don't know what their long-range plan is in terms of protection, because there hasn't been any industry standard that's really solid. I mean, we've got one out there, but in terms of compliance and getting everyone agreed on it, it's not there yet.
Right.
But I think they figured we better get into this now. I mean, everybody is, and this is really our market. I mean, when you think, you know, carrying music with you, you think Sony, because you think of that Walkman,
right.
the original Walkman. They can't afford to let it pass.
The other thing that it opens the door for that a lot of people may not realize is viruses.
Oh, on music, yeah.
I mean, a lot of people were not downloading anything at home because of the fear of viruses program. They don't think twice about a piece of music.
That's a good point.
It's still a piece of soap.
I hadn't even thought of that, but of course that's true.
It's a perfect carrier, isn't it?
Yeah.
And kids are into it, so kids don't think like an adult who sits there and worries about, well, could this be a virus or...
So we're going to have to extend the virus checkers to listen to our music.
Yeah.
Did you know, I just read this last night, real quick factoid. When the Melissa virus was prominent, sales of antivirus software went up 70% in that time period.
No kidding.
Now, does that...
That means that instead of one person buying, there was seven people buying.
So the viruses create the antivirus software business.
Yeah.
And I mean, so you wonder, maybe the antivirus software people are putting out the viruses.
But it's possible.
I've heard that theory before. I mean, who knows?
You never know, right?
Talk about viruses, by the way, and let me mention here that we talk. This week I got about, I don't know, 15 messages from people who wanted me to check out those free links. They came from different people. It says check these free links out, and the attachment was links.vbs. And I mean, I don't open any of that stuff, people that I don't know. And about an hour later, I got an email that somebody quoted also CERT in it that said that links.vbs is a virus, only it does worse than Melissa. Mm-hmm. So if you see anything about free links, or if you see the file links or free links that VBS, which is the Visual Basic stuff, that's how they do it. They wrote it with Visual Basic, and it goes into Outlook and manipulates it.
Oh, good.
And so...
And this is the one that sends that mail under your name, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. This is how I got those, you know, from... I mean, these were really people... This was for people that were in one of the conferences, the users, the news group that I carry, and I don't know these people. I said, why are they sending it to me? And then when I saw a second one, third, I said, I'm not opening these. And didn't think about it until I got that note. So, everybody, watch out. 860-0850, *850 on your Bell South Mobility DCS phone, #850 on your Alltel cell phone, and these are free calls. You're tuned to Computers 99 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. So there's going to have to be some kind of a control mechanism.
Oh, yeah. There has to be.
So the artists could get their royalties. So the writers could get their royalties.
Sure.
So the actors could get their royalties.
Sure, because the big paradigm has been... In the last few years, everyone says, well, content is king now. Now we got to come up with content. But you don't generate content if content is free. Because it's great as a theory. You know, you have John Perry Barlow out there saying, well, information wants to be free. You know, it sounds great, right?
But try it at the grocery store.
Right. Gasoline wants to be free. Groceries want to be free. What does that mean? Right. If we want to have an economy that works... we found that if we want to generate a product, we have to find a way to make it economically viable. You have to have people creating content who get paid to do it. It is true there are people who would pay to get books published or music published or whatever, but if you want your entire economy filled only with that kind of material, you're going to lose a lot of good stuff. So, we rely on content. Our society does. We will find a way to fix this because otherwise... We're going to lose a terrific amount. I don't know how they'll fix it, but it's inevitable that we're going to wind up with copyright protections on material like music, material like magazine writing, whatever it might be. It has to be.
On the net.
Mm-hmm. On the net.
Because it does exist.
It does exist. The adaptation is tricky. Technically, you could say if you talk to an attorney, you know, you could make the case, well, we've already got copyright laws, and they cover all this stuff. True enough, but we have to figure out how to set up the mechanism to protect it on the net.
And enforce it.
Mm-hmm. And enforce it.
All right, and when we come back, we'll take your calls and talk some more with Paul here. And now, here's The Rock with his version of what happened today in sports, right here on Sports Radio 850. The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 99 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, star 850 on your Bell South Mobility DCS phone, pound 850 on your Alltel cell phone, and these are free calls. And this segment is brought to you by SkyTel. The first name in advanced messaging. You can call 1-800-SKY-6181 or visit SkyTel.com. We're talking with Paul Gilster, columnist. How do I, and you're a writer, too. I mean, you've got some books.
Yes, I do.
How many books did you write so far?
Six.
Six books.
Six books. And now I'm trying to figure out what's the next one, because, you know, the Internet bookshelf's gotten a bit crowded lately. Have you taken a look at it? When I started this in 1992, there were no, I mean, I can remember going to the bookstore and saying, who's my competition? I'm going to write this book about the Internet. Well, there wasn't anything. I mean, you could find, now you could find some stuff for real, you know, the people who were actually building it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, for the average reader, there wasn't anything. And now, of course, the books are all over the place. I play around with the idea of writing something on the whole electronic book and publishing end that we've just been talking about, because I think that's going to be so big. And the whole question that we've been discussing about copyright protection and everything has so many issues involved in it. I might get into that as the next one, but I'm undecided. I'm between books and trying to figure out where the Internet's going is, I'm beginning to think, just about impossible. And if you try to project down the road, when you write a book, you have to figure what's going to be hot in 6 months.
Boy. And hope that nobody takes and posts it on the Internet somewhere.
Yeah, you hope that. So, that you know, it's tricky.
No crystal balls. No, right. I mean, it is amazing. If you go up in the web, every day there's something new, different. We all get, probably belong to too many listservs, you know, between CNET and the one out of England that I get, and ZDNet and all. And you know, every day there's stories and stories and stories about this stuff.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned ZD. Interesting story there, because of the fact that here's an outfit that had a great idea. You know, I mean, they're going to try to move their publishing empire to the net.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's well and good. And they have good people. They have smart people doing it. But what happens? You get this hybrid. You know how long it takes a ZD page to download? Because what? All the graphics, all the ads, all the junk. And yet if you read their columnists, all those guys are saying, how do you build a good web page? You build it lean and mean.
That's a good point.
I mean, their people know better, but the problem is they're having an uncomfortable fit with the old media, because the old media types are saying, no, we need all this stuff.
Right.
It's very ironic if you read what the columnists say and compare it to what they're delivering on screen.
I mean, I heard yesterday, this is, since we're talking about the Internet and its future, on NPR, a story about grocery shopping via the Internet,
mm-hmm.
that the business has started. The first big one is in San Francisco. It's founded by the guy who founded Borders.com.
This is Webvan?
That's right.
Yeah.
What a fascinating story. It's going to work.
Yeah, it looks like it, because they're essentially setting up huge warehouses all over the country. And apparently there's plenty of bucks behind this.
And they've got the system worked out where you don't spend any more for your groceries. In fact, you spend less because they don't...
Supposedly.
Well, they don't support a huge chain of outlets. And
they deliver to your door.
They deliver to your door.
And the drivers are not allowed to take tips.
I mean
we're talking here. That's pretty good.
Now, are
you dreaming or you're describing?
A little of both at this point.
I'm telling you, it is. I listen to this and I'm going, it's a reality. You hear this stuff, and because it always seemed to me the hardest part was, how do you figure out over the Internet to deliver tangible products?
Yes.
I mean, you know, here's somebody sitting out, and it'll only work in cities for a while,
mm-hmm.
because of the infrastructure and all, but. You know, there's a huge market for people who want to do this. How do you order meals over the web? Well, you do it now.
I mean,
there are services that way, too.
Webvan is currently operating, I believe, in Oakland. I think that's true. And it's going to be rolling out in major markets in the coming year.
Yeah, they said that they plan the next one's Atlanta. They're getting ready to go public.
Yeah, they're going. There was an IPO being set up last I looked.
Yeah. I mean, there is something new every day.
Every day. And this and your calls coming up next right here on Sports Radio 850. The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers at 99 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, star 850 on your Bell South Mobility DCS phone, pound 850 on your Alltel cell phone, and these are free calls. And we're talking with Paul Gilster about different subjects.
The computer guru.
And we're, oh yeah. And Larry.
Yes. Larry. It's time for me to make the call.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, Larry.
And now,
it's circling. We're back. Slow week.
Slow?
Very slow. We talked to the Republican senator from the state of Washington who has filed a complaint with the Department of Justice requesting that they come forth with all their papers on how much money they spent investigating us. And it turns out that so far they've spent $12.6 million. Senator Gordon said this is way too much money, and it represents, in fact, free legal representation for Microsoft competitors. Well, you know who his biggest contributor is.
Yes.
He's the senator from Microsoft.
Well put.
Yeah. What else is going on with Microsoft? There's a new virus out there called Infis, or Infis, I-N-F-I-S, discovered by a Russian, this is what I think is funny, a Russian antivirus software company. I thought that was an oxymoron. I thought all the viruses in the world.
No kidding.
I mean, it's a
no, they come from Israel.
from expatriate Russians, probably. Infis is a virus for the first time people think can attack NT. At its core root, at its system admin level, it isn't found on the internet yet, so they don't think that it's easily distributable, and it doesn't destroy anything. But it does contain errors and can corrupt files, but it does allow a user to take over control of an NT server box. It's out there. No one knows quite when and what's going to happen. But this is the important thing is the first time this kind of virus has been discovered.
Is there a way to protect against it?
Well, we don't know yet. Microsoft is now investigating.
Okay.
And they're trusting their fate to the Russians?
No.
Microsoft did release a new patch for IE5 that corrects one of their security bugs, the one that allows people to control your or take a look at your downloads and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
That's available. You can download it right now. Go to www.microsoft.com and follow your leads. And the last thing, and this is a new business that Microsoft, we were talking earlier before the show about businesses Microsoft is trying to get into, and the one that they think is probably as big as Windows CE, the small one, is a smart card business, which will use CE also, actually Windows Operating System. Microsoft announced that they are going to enter the smart card business with several business partnerships, and we've talked about this before on this show about how big a business this really is. Smart cards are credit card-type cards. Mm-hmm. Looks like credit card.
Right.
But they contain programmable information about you that allows people to use them as portable devices to access computer networks, to access the internet, and so that's where we're going. So other than that, we're just protecting our flanks, waiting for Windows 2000 to come out.
That's right.
I don't know which release candidate you're playing with right now, Paul. But
candidate. I like that.
Oh, yeah, we will. It went beta 1, beta 2, beta 3, release candidate 1. I think I have release candidate 2.
I like it. The idea of candidate. I like that.
It's not for real yet. It's just a candidate.
That's right.
It's not been appointed.
That's yet. Right. Not yet.
You're making fun of us?
It's a maybe. It's a maybe.
We're going to focus the beam on you. So it was a slow week at the World.
That's the force.
May the force be with you. May our force be with your ass. So that's about it for Microsoft.
So you were bored this week.
No, I wasn't bored. I was working, but I kept looking on the web, and there's very little. I told you my sources. I use San Jose Mercury.
So your sources dried out.
Sources dried out. I think we're sort of laying low because there's all kinds of stuff in the offing.
Well, we know that, and we were saying earlier that CE is going to be an interesting story here.
Yeah, but we're not quite sure how.
we don't know how yet, but it's certainly out there and going to be very influential in where handhelds go, we were saying earlier. We're talking about Microsoft defending its turf on that score.
Yeah, because if you look at what they're starting to proliferate operating systems like illegitimate children. They've got NT in various varieties, 2000 in various varieties, Windows 98 in various varieties.
Yeah.
Now Windows Millennium.
Windows Millennium is coming.
I thought that was a television show they got rid of last year. And now Windows CE in various varieties. So all of a sudden what seems to have been a rather simple, straightforward narrowing of the process and perhaps actually getting good at releasing bug-free operating systems. This has all gone to hell.
Doesn't this remind you guys of Unix? I mean, remember with Unix, you had all the different versions for each different kind of system.
Right.
And now, look at Windows. Yeah, and look at Windows CE. Same thing. You know, what runs on one handheld won't run on another. You got to have a special version for each.
So, who knows? I mean, it's
the shadow knows.
Well. I don't even know Bill knows anymore. I mean, I'm not sure what the grand poobah of Microsoft is doing.
All right, well,
so we're out of here.
An hour went by. And your calls are coming up next, right here on Sports Radio 850, The Buzz.